This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Players' Championship gets underway today, TPC Sawgrass, the 17th hole. Players, it'll be on NBC Golf Channel and Peacock. We welcome back the Super Bowl MVP with the Saints Hall of Famer, Drew Brees, joining us on the program. Good to see you again. What do you remember most about going to the Combine when you played?
Yeah, it was you know, the thing I remember most was I was, for whatever reason, I was most worried about the 40-yard dash. So I feel like so much of my focus from, call it January, February, leading up to it was, you know, how well can I run? How much of an athlete can I show people I am? Because, you know, all of the, I think all that people were saying was he's too short, not enough arm strength. You know, all those deficiencies. And so I felt like I had to make up for it in some other way, you know, with athleticism. So I remember focusing on the L drill, the vertical, and especially the 40-yard dash.
Do you remember your time?
Yeah, 4.82 was the electronic time. But apparently, you know, the guys are in the stands, you know, the scouts with their hand time. And so it was as fast as 4.65 is what I was told.
Oh.
But 4.82 electronic. And so I felt good about that. But unfortunately, I didn't throw the ball very well at the combine. I should have realized that, you know what, it really wasn't about the 40-yard dash. It was about how you throw.
What did you think when you saw Michael Vick run the 40-yard dash? He was at the same combine with you.
Yeah, you know, he didn't need to run. I think you just turn on the film and you know exactly what you're getting with him.
Well, that's what we do fall in love with the combine numbers. And if I watched you play at Purdue, I saw what you could, you know, like we get caught up in that. And I think sometimes teams talk themselves into something or out of something based off the combine. Do you say that's fair assessment?
You're exactly right. So we call it measurables, right? Everyone's looking at the measurables. So is it how far you can throw or how fast you can throw, how fast the ball gets there, how fast you run, how high you jump, right? At the end of the day, especially with the quarterback position, I feel like 90% of it is, you know, between your ears, and in your chest, you know. So, the way I would evaluate quarterbacks is I want to turn on the film and I want to watch the way they play the game, the way they process the game, the way they work through progressions, their anticipation, you know, how they can throw guys open. And then I want to talk to their teammates. I want to talk to the equipment managers. I want to talk to the trainers. I want to talk to everybody in the building. Tell me about this guy, right? What type of personality he is, what type of leader he is. You know, give me examples of when you've been in tough situations, how this guy's responded. How do you feel when this guy steps in the huddle? I mean, to me, those are the immeasurables. Those are the intangibles.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that's most important.
But if you look at Bryce Young, he's a little bit shorter than you. I think you weighed a little bit more than him. If I'm, you know, combine numbers, yeah. I think you were six yeah. feet, about 213, something like that.
Yeah.
But what really matters with Bryce Young? What would matter to you if you're the GM of the Bears or the Texans, Colts? You know, what are you looking at, and what would you be concerned about?
The only thing I'd be concerned about is maybe durability, just based on what you've said, right? If he's a little bit more slight in stature, you know, is that going to be an issue with, you know, just making your way through a 17-game season and you know, some of the abuse that your body takes? I know the league takes better care of quarterbacks now than they did, you know, 20 years ago. But still, that would be the only, if you'd say, concern. I mean, I think some guys are able to stay healthier than others for various reasons. As a quarterback, there's plenty of times where you're just in vulnerable positions, and it is what it is. But bottom line, you turn on the film with Bryce Young, and man, the guy has got talent. The guy makes plays. The guy throws with anticipation. He is a smart player. He knows where to go with the football. He can avoid, right? I think a lot of playing the quarterback position now is, can you avoid slide, move, get buy yourself a little extra time to be able to make that play or get outside the pocket in order to make that play? You know, that's kind of the evolution of the quarterback position that we're starting to see.
If you ran the Ravens, what would you be doing with Lamar Jackson?
Well, I think he is an extremely talented player. I love the way he plays the game. From everything I've seen with his teammates and guys that I know who played with him, they love him. They love him as a teammate. They love him as a leader. It's really how you want to build your system. I think Baltimore has always been this, you know, physical style of football, both offensively and defensively, very aggressive defensively, high pressure, but the division in which they play, you know, they play in the Northeast. It's a ground, you know, game emphasis. If that's the direction you want to go, then Lamar Jackson's your quarterback. If you want to go a different direction, a style of offense that you play, then, you know, I guess you're going to get somebody else.
But do you care about the price tag? Should he get what Deshaun Watson got?
I don't know. I mean, again, you look at every team that has a quarterback that's reached that next contract, and it certainly has an effect on your team. You know, the teams that have drafted a guy well, or they have him, you know, cheap, so to speak, you know, because they're on their rookie deal, they have the ability to go out and spend money elsewhere for a period of time until that guy is up and is getting that big number. So it certainly impacts the team once they reach that level.
Derek Carr going to your Saints, your reaction?
Yeah, I think it's a great fit. I think it's a great fit for him. I think it's a great fit for the Saints. I've always been impressed with Derek Carr. I think he's been in a pretty dysfunctional situation. I think we all recognize that. Look at all that's happened to the Raiders, both from a personnel perspective and just, you know, all the controversy and everything that's swirled around them for the last couple of years. You know, that's a very difficult situation to be in. I think he's caught the brunt of that unfairly in a lot of ways. I've always been impressed watching him play. I think he certainly has the ability to take an offense like what the Saints run and execute that well, you know, put a lot on his plate, you know, where – you know, in many cases, you're going up to the line of scrimmage with multiple plays or the ability to check in and out of plays. I've seen him do that. You know, John Gruden's offense, which is what he came up in, was the same offense that we run. It's that West Coast style, but the ability to, hey, we're not going to run a bad play. You know, that was always the philosophy. We're going to get out of bad plays, get into good plays. You got to be a smart quarterback to do that. You have to recognize what's happening on the other side. I always felt like he did a good job of that. So I think it's a good fit.
Talking to Drew Brees, do you think Brady is officially retired?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I don't know.
But nobody wants to retire if they can still play, right? At that position.
Yeah. Look, I that was always
If I gave you perfect health, you might still be playing.
Yeah, but look, there's a sacrifice that goes along with that. You know, you have to be so fully invested in what you're doing, especially as the quarterback. You know, so much falls on your shoulders. And when you are the caliber of player that Tom Brady is, or at that level, you take that burden on yourself. You take so much of the burden, maybe more so than you deserve or should, but you do. And only those who have been in that position know what that feels like. So literally, call it 7 months, but really it's the whole year where your mind is just consumed with being the best quarterback you can be for your team, being the best leader you can be for your team. You shoulder so much of that responsibility. And that's where your mind is. So it's very hard to turn that off. It's very hard to pull yourself away from that. And other things sacrifice as a result. I mean, golly, the guy played for 23 years, you know, at the highest level. You know, I think I there's always that adjustment when you do step away. You know, I certainly know that was the way it was for me. I mean, here I am 2 years from my, you know, official announcement of retirement. And man, there's plenty of days where I wake up and, man, I'm still in that mode of like, man, what do I have to do today? You know, that structure and routine that football, you know, gave you, and you feel like something is missing a little bit.
How often would you have those conversations with your wife that you weren't present as a father and a husband?
Yeah. I tried to be very mindful of that and recognize that, especially in the latter stages of my career when my kids were getting that age where, you know, being present was so important and, you know, you're having much more real conversations. You know, it's not like you know, they're at that baby or infant stage. I mean, they're at this stage now where, I mean, you can have real conversations. And I would say the balance in my life, like that really gave me great balance in my life because I knew that when I left the facility, I was leaving that behind and I was totally focusing on, you know, my family when I got home. And we had kind of our own little routine when I would get home. You're reading books to the kids before bed, you know, talking about the day, you know, saying our prayers. You know, it was really like, honestly, I felt like that put me in a much even better headspace when it came to then waking up the next day and doing it again. My kids recognized what their dad did. They had a chance to be a part of that. They had a chance to come in the locker room. They had a chance to be there on game day and afterward, you know. So there was this recognition of what their dad did, the fact that their dad was, you know, working hard, represented not just his team, but, you know, the city and, you know, so many other aspects of what the job entailed.
Did your kids ever ask?
It actually got more fun. It got more fun.
Your kids ever ask for autographs from the opposition, the opposing team?
Well, the best was, there was like funny moments that, you know, like I remember I think we played the Houston Texans back in 2015. J.J. Watt got after us pretty good. You know, I feel like he was hitting me every play. And so I get home. You know, it was a road game. I get home. It's kind of, you know, later in the evening, 7 o'clock at night. I get home and the kids are like, you know, I knew right when I walk in the door, I got to let the game go. We had lost. Got beat up a little bit. Let the game go. Be with the kids. I walk in the door and the kids are like, hey, Dad, let's play football. I'm like, all right, guys, let's do it, you know. And they're like, okay, you be Drew Brees. I'm like, okay, I can do that. And they're like, and we'll be J.J. Watt. So you stand there, and we're just gonna like tackle you. I'm like, oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Like I didn't get enough of that today.
Who's risking more, the Packers if they let Rodgers go, or the Jets in acquiring Aaron Rodgers?
Well, who's risking more? I think that's a better deal for the Jets.
But you don't even know how long you get him for. I mean, you might be getting him.
But look, it's a window of opportunity.
Okay.
Look at the Rams and basically what they attempted to do 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, right? I mean, they basically mortgage the future. You go out, you trade for Stafford, you trade for Von Miller, right? You get OBJ, right? You make all these moves literally with the attempt to win right now, this season. And in a way you mortgage your future as a result of it, but you sense the window of opportunity and you do everything you can to get it done. So in a way, you know, depending on what that number is, you know, and what they trade and, you know, that kind of thing, that's basically what you're doing. You say, we got a talented roster. We got some young guys that we don't have to pay yet. Let's make this trade. Let's pay Rodgers. Let's make a run at the next 2 years or whatever it is. And then just, you know, forget the future. Just focus on these next 2 years going to win.
Do you know Rodgers at all?
I don't. Not really.
I think we're all still trying to figure him out.
I think that's a pretty accurate statement.
Yeah, that's what makes me nervous too. I don't know how important football is to him, and I do love what the Jets have. I mean, they got offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year. They have that potential. I just feel like there might be 2 years away, or maybe even a little bit more. And is Rodgers going to be around for that? That'd be the risk there with that. You know, is he going to get together with those receivers? Is he going to be all in on the offseason? That's where I think you run the risk.
Yeah, look, I think when you go to a new team, though, and look, Brady could attest to this. You know, there's a bit of this rejuvenation, right? You know, he leaves New England. Nobody ever thought he'd leave New England, just like nobody thought Peyton would leave Denver, right? But the next thing you know, they're on a new team. But there's a bit of this rejuvenation that takes place. In feeling like you're building up the foundation again, but not just that, but you feel like you can be the architect of that in a lot of ways, you know, because of your experience and, you know, the level of respect that you garner, but also like, you know, the things that you like, you know, what works for you, you know, what is going to help you and the offense be successful, you and the team be successful. So I think that most guys, would take that as a great challenge, a great opportunity, and would be all in.
How confident are you that Sean Payton can fix Russell Wilson?
Well, I know what Sean brings to the table, from the perspective of leadership, communication, and really building a winning culture. I think that's a talented roster. I think that's a great fit. That was a great move by them to go get him. I think again, Sean, similar to the quarterback going somewhere else, same with Sean Payton, like this is a rejuvenating time for him, you know, another challenge, another opportunity. I mean, this is right up his alley. This is what he does best. And Sean does an exceptional job of taking the talents of the guys that he has at his disposal and putting them in the best position to succeed. So this offense will be built around Russell Wilson and the things that he does best, and the pieces that he has around him.
Good to visit with you. Hope the boys are keeping you active there.
That's good. Just before this, we were out in the yard learning how to throw a slider. You know, it's baseball season. So,
do you want him to be baseball players or football players?
I want him to be all sports players.
Good.
For as long as possible.
Good.
So at this point, they don't really take anything too serious, which I'm kind of waiting for them to like really, you know, lock in on a sport. But they're playing a little bit of everything, which that's what I like. We play golf, we play paddle sports, football, basketball, baseball, lacrosse. Just have a stick in their hand or a ball in their hand or a glove or something. Just moving.
Good stuff. Good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us, Drew.
You too. Thanks, Dan.
It's Drew Brees. Of course, won the Super Bowl with the Saints and Super Bowl MVP. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Final hour on this Thursday. It'll be busy. Gilbert Arenas is going to join us, former NBA All-Star. At age, I think, 28, brought a gun into the locker room when he was playing in Washington and had an altercation with Javaris Crittenden, and all of a sudden he got a 50-game suspension and really never recovered. He played a long time in the NBA, played overseas as well, and Gilbert was instant offense. He was a very, very good player, and I thought it would be good to have him on, talk about what's going on with John Morant and a few other things. Gilbert, never short on opinions. Kevin Durant, the Arizona Republic is reporting that he could be out, could be, for the rest of the regular season. The organization is concerned that he has a grade 2 sprain on his ankle that keep him out from between 4 and 6 weeks. And if that's the case, we have a month left in the regular season. You'd shut him down. He might not be available to start the postseason. Luka Doncic injured his thigh Wednesday night, and no update on that as well. This program brought to you by the great folks at Panini. Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Jim Boeheim almost went kicking and screaming that he was retiring, not retiring, got to ask the school officials. The school officials then said, yes, Jim is retired. Adrian Autry will take over at Syracuse. After 47 years, Jim is done at Syracuse. By the way, John Morant is out 4 more games. It's not being called a suspension. Haven't heard from the NBA on their investigation, but he's away from the team for 4 more games. Bids that were handed out Tuesday night, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, Colgate, and Montana State. Big news this morning, Diana Rossini has done a wonderful job. She's been all over this Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets situation. And she had a tweet earlier this morning where she said, in the wake of an extensive in-person meeting between Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets brass, including owner Woody Johnson, there's optimism in the Jets organization that they are on the brink of landing the future Hall of Famer, according to sources telling ESPN. And Diana Rossini, kind enough to join us there. Whose trophy is that? Whose office are you in right now at the mothership?
I love that you know that I'm not good enough to have my own office. So I am in someone else's office. And I figured if I'm going to go in an office, I got to make sure this is like the superstar office at ESPN. So this is actually Stephen A. Smith's office at the South Street Seaport.
Oh,
we got all the Stephen A. gear.
You got the cowboy, the black cowboy hat on. You got his cigar. You got a trophy that's the size of you.
I mean, what is he even getting this for? It's this is great, Dan. You'll love this. The GOAT Broadcaster Award is what this is.
Oh, so. I didn't know there was a real award with that. Okay.
Yeah, I apologize that you did not win it this year. Excuse me, in 2019, you did not win it. But there's hope for 2023. I'll see who I can talk to make sure you try to win this thing. But yeah, you learn a lot about a person sitting in their office. And there's not much to Stephen A. Everything about him is here. It's Dallas Cowboys jerseys, hats, and trophies that basically tell him how great he is. He's that simple of a man.
Well, we're here to tell you how great you've been with the coverage of Aaron Rodgers and the Jets that everybody went out to visit with him. What are the Jets selling? Do we know? What are they selling to Aaron Rodgers? What's the pitch?
Yeah, they're selling the roster. They're going from top to bottom explaining what they have to give him. That was what I was told. That was sort of the opening line of, hey, this team is built to win now. We're not doing this to grow. And it was a very similar pitch to Derek Carr, by the way, in terms of trying to let these quarterbacks know that they're just one talented guy away from what they believe, you know, is to get deep in the playoffs and, you know, they want a Super Bowl. Let's just say they're trying to go for a Super Bowl.
But, okay, you mentioned Derek Carr. Were the Jets leaning towards him? Was he leaning towards them? I'm just curious about how this worked that now we're on Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr's in New Orleans.
Yeah, this was all going on over the weekend. And, you know, every time I was checking in with both sides and everyone around the league who was in the conversations, it seemed like the Jets were in on Derek Carr, right? You heard some of the reports that I shared about how they were pitching this Jets roster as well. They believe in what he could do, what he could bring to New York. His own legacy could change if he were to win in New York. You know, I think there was a little bit of jokes made that part of the Jets pitch was you could be a future Hall of Famer. And everyone said, ha, 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 Derek Carr, he's not a future. No, no, no. The New York Jets do not believe Derek Carr is a first round ballot Hall of Famer right now. But if he wins in New York with this team, I could see where maybe perhaps they have that belief in him. So that was part of their sell there. They obviously don't need to sell the Hall of Fame aspect to Aaron Rodgers. He's there.
But could Derek Carr have had this job if he wanted it? Could he be the quarterback of the Jets?
I think there was a time when this was going to work out. There was a time when both sides were very interested in one another. I don't think they made it, completely down the aisle, but it was looking like it was going in that direction, Dan. And I was a little surprised it didn't, to be very honest with you. And that window closed the time in terms of when New York wanted an answer, and another window remained open, and that window was the world of Aaron Rodgers. And from what I can gather, the Jets felt that they had enough information about Aaron Rodgers' interest in them for them to then continue conversations, reach out to the Packers, have discussions of compensation, and then eventually owner Woody Johnson getting everybody on board a jet to fly out west to sit in front of Aaron.
What do you think the compensation is going to be for Rodgers with the Packers?
You know, I've been trying to get the actual facts, but here's something that could happen. I could see them perhaps not getting a first rounder out of this, which when I first heard that, it actually kind of blew my mind, because to think about the value they could get for him. But I don't sense from Green Bay that they're asking for the moon and the stars here.
Yeah.
I think they're being really fair with the Jets. Now, I do think the interesting part of this is going to be the contract. That's what I want to know. I want to see if this actually, if they're able to get the ball over the goal line here and bring in the big fish to New York, what is an Aaron Rodgers contract going to look like, knowing Woody Johnson wants to spend the money? I spent some time with Woody a few weeks ago in Arizona, and we had all these conversations about what he's looking for. And I didn't have to direct too much. He was very open. They know they need a veteran, and they need someone who can come in here and just go. They don't want to have to support in any other way. They want a star, and it's why they went after Aaron.
Mike Tannenbaum, who I have great respect for, former Jets GM, said that he would offer Aaron Rodgers back-loaded. So it'd be,
yeah,
if I did $30 million, then I would do $60 million for year two. Because if I'm the Jets, do I want Aaron Rodgers for just 1 year? That you're all in for 1 year, and you're going to try to win a Super Bowl, and then convince him to stay, and then all of a sudden you're in a Packers situation here?
No. I understand Mike's theory on it, and I also have tremendous respect for him because he's done the job, and we saw what he did it with Brett Favre. But I don't think that's going to be good enough for an Aaron Rodgers in terms of money. Let's go back even a year ago, Dan, when we were all trying to figure out what kind of money Aaron was looking for. And from the conversations I had back then, I recall it being very clear. He wanted to be the highest paid quarterback. And even though he denied that he wanted $50 million, he went on McAfee, said, no, that's not true. Guess what Aaron Rodgers got paid? $50 million, right? So he likes money, and he should. We all do. I don't have enough money to have my own office. So I get it. I don't think New York is going to be able to pull anything on him. I think this is still recruiting. And if they're going to lean into that, they're going to want to give him a lot of money to make sure he knows he's coming to New York and he's going to be taken care of.
When's the decision expected?
So the last source I spoke with today in New York is they are waiting for Aaron. So that's what the holdup is. So compensation is still being worked out. I heard that they're still kind of going back and forth on some things, but they feel good they're going to get there. This is now Aaron. So here I am talking to you, right, on Thursday afternoon, and I'm like, they feel so good. The Jets are ready. You know, number 12 is hanging. The flag is hanging from the Brooklyn Bridge to my right. It's not really, but Mike Greenberg might as well go do it. We're not there yet, but the Jets have done everything, absolutely everything they possibly can do as an NFL team to try to lure the future Hall of Famer.
Okay, I'll leave you with this. I don't mean to be a buzzkill. Let's say they don't get Aaron Rodgers in New York.
Jimmy Garoppolo, he would be the next. Well, first of all, I you didn't ask me who the next quarterback. You just made a statement. There was no question there.
Who do you think will be the next quarterback if they don't get Aaron Rodgers?
My response, as a girl that lives in New Jersey, my response to your statement of, oh my, it would be like, oh my God. Like, at this point, the Jets are so far in this, Dan, that, look, if you're a Jets fan, you have to be at least happy your team is trying. But the soul-crushing reality of them dropping the ball on this, or perhaps they're not even dropping the ball, but if Aaron were to turn around and go, oh, you know, I'm going to just retire, I can't. I don't know if there's been pain like that in New York in a long time. In fact, I'm trying to think in my head right now, like, when was the last time New York was just absolutely crushed? Some would argue the Daniel Jones contract, but but look, that being said, I think the next move would be exploring the Jimmy Garoppolo market. And you got to, I don't know this for a fact, so, you know, but I would think that Lamar Jackson would be something that they would have to look into as well, because that's something that they could make work there in that offense.
You've done a great job, and thank you. And I text Stephen A. and told him that you were in his office, and he's probably going to have some words for you. Uh-oh, we just lost her. Uh-oh, Stephen A. may have pulled the plug on her there. Thank you, Diana, if you can hear me. Diana Russini of the Mothership. Yes, Paulie?
How would you feel if you're Zach Wilson? You know, you were the flavor of the year last year with the Jets. You're under contract with the Jets for two more seasons guaranteed, unless they trade you. But you have a rookie deal. They can't. He's just sitting there watching all this.
Yeah, but he needs to just sit there.
Yeah.
He'd just sit there and absorb. Diana was talking about, you know, if they don't get Rodgers, have they felt pain like this? I'd go back to when the Knicks thought they were getting LeBron. And they really thought that they were, you know, he was there in Connecticut, in Greenwich, Boys and Girls Club, and it just felt like, well, of course he's there, and the practice facility's there, and he's coming to the – he's not going to the Knicks. He's taking his talents elsewhere. Yes, Eden.
I was convinced the Knicks were getting LeBron and Ricky Rubio at the exact same time. Like, they're going to go to New York together.
Yeah, yeah. Because you need Ricky Rubio if you're going to get LeBron.
Yeah, that's yeah. What I thought.
Yes, Mark.
There's nothing better than when a pending free agent goes to the Garden the season before they become a free agent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They just already have their jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
The Kevin Durant Knicks jersey, the LeBron Knicks jersey, the Kyrie.
They're going to have a Zion jersey here coming up.
They were like, oh, this is our big three. Kyrie, Zion, KD. Oh, none of them came.
Let's see. Mike in Ohio. We'll squeeze in a couple of phone calls.
Hey, Dan, second timer.
Hey, Mike.
Hello. Hey, I got a question for you. Did you ever have the Burtman's Ballpark Mustard in Cleveland, Ohio?
Probably. But I haven't been to a Cleveland game in a long, long time.
You can't say Indians anymore. I understand. But hey, I'm going to send you guys some mustard. But I got an idea for Fritzy to get a person into the brackets.
Okay.
He needs to reach out to Dr. Phil's people in his Dr. Phil voice and invite Dr. Phil to be in the bracket challenge.
Well, Fritzy's not afraid to invite anybody, Mike.
You got this whole fancy aquarium in the house. You ain't got no fish in it. You got a toothache. You're going to the podiatrist. That's not going to work.
It would be great to have Dr. Phil on and you do Dr. Phil to Dr. Phil.
I just love his random generic statements.
Like you're going, wait, what did you say?
My son's on drugs. You got this big cowboy hat and a horse and a lasso. I don't make you no cowboy.
There are so many non sequiturs with him. But when Fritzy goes, I was watching Dr. Phil, and he told some mother that she had a fish tank and no fish in the fish tank.
You spent all this money on this big fancy aquarium, ain't no fish in it. I don't know where you're going with this. That's why your sons can't get off the drugs.
Reach out to Dr. Phil.
Okay.
All right. My thanks again to Diana Russini. I know she's busy today working on this Aaron Rodgers situation. Gilbert Arenas will join us coming up next here, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Fritzy's been working on the Celebrity Bracket Challenge, and he reached out to a lot of people. He reached out to Liam Neeson, the big-time actor, and we actually have a response from Liam Neeson, apparently, on if he'll join us for a Celebrity Bracket Challenge.
Hello, it's Liam. I heard you were looking for me to be part of the Dan Patrick Bracket Challenge. Truth is, I don't know who you are. But since I do know what you want, I will find you, and I will become part of it. By the way, Fritzy, you're the best part of the show. Hilarious stuff.
Wow. See, you had me until he said that at the very end.
Then you know it's not.
Then I knew it wasn't true.
I think you still have me.
Yeah. I will find you, and I will kill you.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Thank you, Todd. Good Liam Neeson there, by the way. Gilbert Arenas, 3-time NBA All-Star with the Wizards and co-host of Gil's Arena podcast. He joins us on the program. Gil, let me... I want to apologize up front because you probably got all these people who called you once Ja Morant was found with a gun in a strip club. They're like, hey, let's get Gilbert Arenas on because you got caught with a gun, you know, in the locker room. So thanks for joining us. How many people reached out to you to get your thoughts on Ja Morant?
It was a few. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, because I have my own platform, I usually can just give my own opinion from there, but I think you're the only one I actually accepted.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. What did you think when you heard or when you saw what he was doing live on Instagram?
Since I'm the one who's actually, you know, been there, done that, I can really understand, you know, the behavior. It's an outcry. It's not a thug type of thing. It's more of an outcry of leave me alone of behavior. You know, he's being accused of, you know, the store incident with his, you know, involving his mother. And then you have the 17-year-old kid that he pulled a gun, you know, so he's getting these backlashes from the media now he wants to show everyone that I'm this tough guy, leave me alone. It's that type of behavior. It's more of an outcry, a rebellion.
What would you say to him?
It's one of those things like, I understand the hurt, I understand the pain, but that comes with the job. It comes with the job. You know, we're in a spotlight, and when you're in the spotlight, you have to take the good with the bad. So you can't act like this. This is not the behavior that actually helps you going forward. You know, the only thing that can help you is keep your head low and do your job. You know, right now, this partying in the club, having fun, you know, showing weapons or no weapons, that's not part of your job.
But I don't know what he's, you know, revolting against, or what's he angry? He's got everything, Gilbert.
Yes, but no. Athletes' life is a little harder than it seems. The only time we have peace is when we're at the job. Everything outside of the job is nothing we are prepared for. You know, you're talking about, you know, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids who have all the money in the world. We're not 40. We're not businessmen. We're getting the most money at the wrong time of our lives. We have everyone in the world pulling on us for loans, money. I mean, it's if we can play the game all day and not have to deal with reality, we would.
But does he really want to be somebody he's not?
No. It's just like in anything in life. It's a phase. We all go through it. You know, when you're a college kid, you have a phase. You know, when you're a young adult, you have a phase. When you're in your 30s, you have a phase. When you're in your 40s, you have a phase. You know, for some reason with athletes, you know, that phase between 20 to 25. You somehow think you're this invincible, you know, rap star, gangster life, when that's really not it. It's. I don't want to blame the music, but the music we will listen to get ready for games, to get ready for competition, is going to be of the violent nature. We have to really get ourselves ready. We're not listening to like some soft Drake or, you know, Madonna or some, you know, Mariah Carey before the game. We're going to listen to the hardcore stuff to really get us amped up.
What were you listening to the night you brought a gun into the locker room?
I wasn't listening to anything. You know, my stance was, I was being challenged. You know, someone said they were going to do something to me. And I said, I don't think you are. I want to see it. So I was calling a bluff. I want to see you do this. Let's see how tough you are. So will I not do that again? I can't say I wouldn't, because at that time, what was making me great was accepting all challenges. You know, you say you're going to, you know, stop me from scoring 60. I don't think you can. Let me see you do it. You know, so mine was a little different because it wasn't me being aggressive. It was more of the other person being aggressive, and I need to see you do this.
Because, okay, so you bring, was it unloaded, the gun?
The gun, yeah, they were unloaded. Yeah.
Okay. Gambling dispute between you and Javaris Crittenden back in 2009.
No.
It was not.
They were gambling. I was poking fun at them losing.
Oh.
Yeah, see. Yeah. Okay. It had nothing to do with me actually losing money or him owing money. It was never about, you know, any of that.
And then you allegedly both pointed guns at each other.
No. I've never touched a gun, never had a gun. He never pointed a gun at me.
Isn't that bizarre that's the story? That yeah. You guys pointed guns at each other in the locker room.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that. It was the guns were on his chair. And it was basically pick one, the one you say you're going to shoot me with. I want to see it. It was that stance. And he was saying, I don't need your guns. I have my own gun.
Oh.
Yeah. But
was his loaded?
I don't know. No, listen, it wasn't.
But knowing what has happened to him since then, I'm guessing Crittenden had a loaded gun.
I can't say he did or didn't. Yeah. Was I scared? No. Like, did I think he was going to shoot me? No. Like, we hung out every day, all day. It was, we have a big brother, little brother relationship. And it was more of the, I need to stand up for myself because he's making me look stupid in front of the teammates. It was more of that behavior than, wow, you know, really feeling threatened by anything.
And then you got a 50-game suspension.
Yes. It ended up being 50 game, but it was the rest of the season, 38 games.
Okay.
Plus the team made it to playoffs. Okay. But for the record, we didn't get suspended for guns in the locker room. Because guns on NBA property is only 2 to 3 games. And the story was too big for them to say, oh, it's only 2-game suspension. So I got suspended for the incident. Well, it was the behavior.
Conduct
that I was
detrimental.
Detrimental to the team. So back then, mental, you can use mental to hold kids out longer. So basically what they were trying to do to Ben Simmons early in Philly, when he said, oh, conduct detrimental to the team, he's suspended. Back then, you can use that indefinitely. That's why he used it against them and said, oh, he used that so he can sit out as long as he wanted to.
I'm glad you cleared that up. what do you think, if you're the commissioner, what do you do to John Morant?
If I'm the commissioner, then because I've been there, I personally know Adam Silver technically can't do nothing. Because he's already been punished by his team, which is a smart move if you're the Grizzlies. Hurry up and suspend him.
But why don't they say it's a suspension, Gilbert? Because they're saying he's taking time off.
So
suspension? Because it hasn't been labeled that.
Because he got suspended for 2 games by the Grizzlies, and now he's taking time off to reevaluate. It's like it's like your business, right? You have your employee who's a very great employee for you. You don't want this outside entity, you know, giving you 30 games and it messes up your business. So you're trying to get in front of
self-imposed.
Yes. So they're probably just one, because Adam Silver can't do anything. He can't suspend him until all the evidence is presented. Now, how do you present evidence that there's no weapon? You can't prove that he used the airplane with the weapon, or you don't have any proof of any of that. So you can't really do anything unless he admits it. And that's what I did. I admitted those were my guns. So once I said I admitted it, they was like, we're going to give you 50 games. And I said, well, they wasn't mine. How does that work? So once they realized that, you know, because, you know, they had to do their investigation, you know, the fingerprinting and stuff, and realized, oh, there's no evidence. So they were like, well, then for doing this and, you know, mocking the whole situation and not taking it serious, you know, we're going to suspend you for this.
When you got introduced to starting lineup, did your teammates act like they were shooting guns at you?
Yeah, we were. So you remember.
Oh, my God.
What was the. Well, I know, right?
What the hell were you thinking?
You remember the movie, Even Given Sunday?
Yeah.
Every time they scored a touchdown, the whole team was doing things. And that was like the part of it. We all came up with it, like, yo, when they call our names, we're going to do all this. And yeah. You know, we was going to Cleveland the next day, and we were thinking about throwing a bomb, and then we all fall down.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
He's Gilbert Arenas, 3-time NBA All-Star, and he has a podcast 3 days a week that's live Tuesday through Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, part of Underdog Content Network, available iHeart app, everywhere podcasts are heard. Did LeBron reach out to you to work with his son, with Bronny?
Yes.
Okay.
When they decided to move to L.A., he knew I was training kids. Actually, he started with Dribble Too Much. His name is Johnny. Handle Life, Dribble Too Much. You know, most of the, you know, all the kids, you know him. And then he said, hey, you know, Bronny's working out at Heritage High School. Can you go put your eyes on him? You know, it was coming from concerned father because of the name. He wanted to make sure that, you know, his son was put around, you know, talent to make sure no one's picking at him. So I was like, okay. I went, you know, I'm watching him train. I'm watching him work out. And then, you know, I hit LeBron and say, there's nothing you have to worry about. You might be a little taller than he is, stronger. Your speed is probably the same.
Is he a better shooter? Is he a better shooter than his dad?
Yeah, I said he's a better shooter. He has the same reads, better dribbler. So I said, you guys are even. You're just probably a little bit taller. He probably might be a little bit more athletic at this age than you were. But at this point, he just needs reps. Your genetics is flowing through him. All he does is he just needs reps at this point.
You think he's a top 10 pick?
His ability, he reminds me of a more athletic Drew Holiday. Very smart. Yeah, he's a very smart kid. His downfall is a positive for a coach and a team. He's very unselfish. He's a very unselfish. He's not the type that would try to go out there and score 40. He knows what he can do, and he's going to always play to his ability and the team's ability. That's the downfall to me, because his ability is he can go out there and dominate a game because of what's flowing through his body. Like, when he gets mad, you can't stop that kid. Like, the high school can't stop him when he gets mad.
Okay, but you think he can do that in the NBA?
Yes.
You think he can be a dominating force in the NBA?
He will be at his height, 19-7-7 type of player. That's what I said. He's Drew Holiday. He's going to be a lockdown defender. He'll make big plays when he needs to. He's going to be like the perfect, you know, second option.
Okay.
Now, if he decides, like, if he gets put on a bad team and they say you are going to be the number one option, he has that ability.
Wow.
But he's still going to be the guy that will, like his father, if I have to score 30, I'm going to score 30. But, you know, if I see a play for this shooter in the corner at the end of the game, I will make that pass. I will make that pass. I'm not going to force up a shot. So he's more unselfish than LeBron is, too.
What do you remember about the night you scored 60 on Kobe and the Lakers? Because I think Kobe had, 45 that night?
40, yeah, yes. Yeah.
What do you remember about putting 60 on the Lakers?
To be honest, it's not my top three performances. Nothing was standing out that I was on fire. It wasn't like a Klay Thompson where he's on. You know, I had 20-something free throws, missed a shot to go to overtime. I was, you know, very big in overtime. You know, I was surprised that I had 60. You know, so it wasn't a game that, you know, I'm like, oh, that's, you know.
Is Kobe saying anything to you?
No. Before the game, it's always, you know, I'm guarding Gilbert. I'm going to shut him down. It's always the mind game. It's always the mind game. I'm going to shut him down. You guard him to try to make you really think about what it is. So, you know, whenever he did that, I always went into ISO basketball just to let him know. See, that's the competitive part. He says, I'm going to shut him down, letting everybody know. Don't worry about him. He's neutralized. So it's my job to let my teammates know, first play, let it go. One-on-one. We're going to play one-on-one right now, right? So they know, all right, Gil is not backing down from this challenge. We're going to all let's go. And, you know, that's what sports is about. But, you know, my performance is like that I really say it's the 54 against Phoenix. They were the number one team on a 16-game winning streak. I told the world months before that I'm going to go score 50 against D'Antoni and the Suns for what they did to me in USA Basketball. So I remember I remember D'Antoni saying,
"Damn, you hold a grudge, man. I'm never going to let you. I don't want you holding a grudge against me."
So I'm in layup line, and D'Antoni said, because they're the number one team, they're on fire. He said, "You're going to need more than 50 to beat us." And then I said, "Okay, I'll have more than 50 then." And end up having 54 and we won. You know,
who guarded you? Apparently nobody.
It started off with Steve Nash, but usually with Steve Nash, because he was so great at offense, I attacked him as soon as the game started. I'm trying to like get a foul on him, you know, just so usually once I do that, I want it'll usually be.
Was it Raja Bell? Did he? Boris Diaw?
No, it'll usually go Matrix. So Sean Marion will start first.
Okay.
Because they're trying to put, if I'm hitting shots, they'll put a longer body on me. So it'll be the Matrix. If I'm neutralizing him, then they'll go with Raja Bell. So they can try to use the toughness. But usually when I'm hitting shots, they'll use a longer defender on me. So.
I want to have you next time on. I want to just talk basketball with you. I've always appreciated your basketball IQ of knowing the game and telling stories. The podcast is Gil's Arena Podcast. I highly recommend it because this is what you're going to get from Gilbert. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. It's on Underdog Content Network, available on the iHeart app and everywhere podcasts are heard. Gilbert, great to talk to you again. And I meant what I said. I'd love to have you on, talk some basketball here as we get closer to the playoffs, if that's okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Hey, don't beat him up too much. I know we have to do our job, yep. But, you know, he's still a kid, so, you know.
But I'm not condemning. I just want to make sure he understands. I hope those around him understand. And maybe this is a footnote in 5 years from now, Gilbert.
And that's the problem. The people around him don't understand.
Yeah.
Because they're learning as he is, and he's trying to learn. And the funny part is if they're at a strip club, it would be his teammates that's around him, not his friends. So that's another question, but they're all young. It will be a footnote. I think the reality of I almost lost everything, I could possibly lose everything, it kicked in for him to change his behavior.
Hopefully. Yeah. Great to talk to you. Thank you, Gilbert.
Thank you.
Gilbert looks like he still put up 20. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.